From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Riley speaks to Practical Farmers of Iowa's Chelsea Ferry about the N-Rate Risk Protection Program. I'm joined by Grant Kimberly of the Iowa Soybean Association to talk about the rapid expansion of soy processing. And Russ visits with Ron Geis of Corteva to speak about weed management in corn. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, we continue to wonder about when those first planters will roll. Actually, Dustin, we can't say that. The first planters have already rolled back in February on some real early beans up in Delaware County and over in Jackson County. Haven't heard a status update on any of those for a while. However, with the conditions turning nicer, the soil temps inching closer to 60 degrees, you know there's some itchy trigger fingers on pulling that planter out of the shed and getting it going. So here's what the data looks like. All right. At 50 degree soil temp, it takes about 20 days for soybeans to emerge. So if you put them in tomorrow, that's the 10th of April. That means they'll be up by April 30th. That's about a 25% chance of seeing a frost. Okay. How risky is that? Well, a quarter of the time you're going to have to do it again. If the soil temperature is 60 degrees, they'll be up in 10 days. That'd be April 20th. That's about a 60% chance. So odds are they're going to get frozen off if you go out and plant in the next couple of days. Maybe we just better wait a little bit, huh?
Yeah, that's been the message, you know, pump the brakes, make sure that the conditions are exactly what we need them to be. And because otherwise the market guys are going to be going nuts about that. And speaking of market, we got Joe Camp from Comstock Investments right now talking with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Joe Camp of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Joe, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
Quietly lower, I'd call it, for the grains here. We've got wheat down, I guess, the most 8 cents or so in Chicago. We do have not much follow through there on anything bullish. We had talked a little bit late last week and to start out this week about a potential bottom for Russian wheat prices and also some extra risk premium relatedly with the war in Ukraine, some targeting of Ukraine's grain assets and infrastructure around the Black Sea. But just no real follow-through motivation for the bulls on just yet. That could change as we move on throughout the day here. That's certainly one theme of late, is that if we start one way, we're really potentially going to close the other direction. And it's this kind of back-and-forth market on light volume that really marks this time of the year as we wait for some fresh news that could come later this week. We've got a crop report on Thursday.
And Joe, as we get ready for that report coming up on Thursday, what's going to be something that you're going to be interested to learn in that report? What do you have circled on your sheet as we go into Thursday?
I think most focus is going to be on these South American estimates, particularly for Brazil. Now, normally these reports, we're going to look at the U.S. numbers first. Those aren't subject to change as much here on this April report. We could get some minor adjustments to demand, whether it's exports, corn ethanol, soy processing usage, but overall these ending stocks aren't likely to change a whole lot on this report. It's going to be next month on the May report that is really important for the U.S. numbers because of how it includes the first look at the new crop balance sheets. But April is really a focus on Brazil, particularly this year because of how wide we still maintain a gap between the USDA and the rest of the trade, including Brazil's CONAB agency. Their USDA counterpart will be out on Thursday morning before our report comes out, and we'll see what the CONAB numbers are and use those as a benchmark for what we'll see at 11 a.m. Central on Thursday. But again, this wide gap, a historical gap between the USDA and CONAB and others, would make us believe that the USDA is bound to come down here, at least in part, on Brazil's production estimates for corn and soybeans here. So that's a big focus of this report coming up.
Well, we'll have more from Joe Camp of Comstock Investments later on in the program. Right now, it's time for Andy Peterson's first round of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three. Becoming more efficient and reducing nitrogen could pose a potential financial risk, according to our friends at Practical Farmers of Iowa, which is why they're offering their N-Rate Risk Protection Program to help encourage you take the chance to be more sustainable, improve your ROI. Chelsea Ferry, PFI's Crop Fields Viability Coordinator, says enrolled farmers who experience a yield loss after reducing their nitrogen rate will receive a per-acre payment from PFI to help offset the loss.
The program aimed at reducing farmers' risk when it comes to cutting nitrogen. So this program kind of works. Participants usually reduce their nitrogen application by around 20 pounds of nitrogen. If you're already at a low rate of nitrogen application, we could probably make a smaller cut here. With that nitrogen cut, if you have a yield reduction due to that lower nitrogen rate, PFI will then pay out $35 acre to help kind of cover that loss of revenue with that lower nitrogen rate.
She says the deadline to apply was recently extended to April 30th.
Number two.
Hitting a record of E15 sales in April, according to the Retailer's Motor Fuel Gallons Annual Report just released by the Iowa Department of Revenue. It shows E15 sales increased 47% year-on-year to a record 178 million gallons. The report also found a record 68 million gallons of biodiesel was blended into Iowa in 2023.
Number one.
Well, getting going in preparation at least for hashtag Plant24, and yet maybe some time for some last-minute upgrades. That's what our friends at Meristem are hoping. Some enhancements to Iowa corn yields, according to Michael Hoxmeyer, who says they're seeing a big uptick in optimizing planter performance from the beginning of the growing process.
So one product we're pretty proud of here at Meristem is what we call our Hopper Throttle franchise. We are finding out that there is a lot we can do inside of the planter box. And we're really trying to capitalize on that space and putting stuff around that seed and on that seed to help influence that yield later on.
Getting off to a fast start to help build that yield factory, he says, is always important. Now, he says their website's a great resource for growers to see technical and data information behind their products when perhaps one's sitting in a sprayer tender or waiting on the tender in the sprayer to learn more. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we're just getting rolling here on Iowa Ag Matters. We're going to be talking about N-rate risk protection with Riley. That's alliteration at its finest. Coming up next on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
More details now on what you're hearing about as part of your three big Iowa Ag Matters. You can reduce your nitrogen exposure, shall we say, without any risk to your operation. That's our friends, Practical Farmers of Iowa, trying to help us become more efficient. Riley Smith now learns more, visiting with Chelsea Ferry.
The deadline has been extended for PFI's N-rate risk protection program. Before we get into the deadline extension, can you tell us a little bit again on what that program is all about and how it works?
Yeah, so PFI has the N-rate risk protection program. So it's a program aimed at reducing farmers' risk when it comes to cutting nitrogen. So this program kind of works. Participants usually reduce their nitrogen application by around 20 pounds of nitrogen. If you're already at a low rate of nitrogen application, we could probably make a smaller cut here. With that nitrogen cut, if you have a yield reduction due to that lower nitrogen rate, PFI will then pay out $35 acre to help kind of cover that loss of revenue with that lower nitrogen rate.
And then for people who would want to be interested in that, you know, obviously we're Practical Farmers of Iowa, but this extends even further beyond that, right?
Yeah, so it extends into surrounding states. So any farmers farming corn non-organically in Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Illinois, Nebraska, and the southeast part of South Dakota are welcome to apply and are eligible.
And then, of course, you know, having that risk protection, because obviously, you know, with nitrogen being an essential crop or essential crop nutrient, we want to make sure we have that in the soil. But you know, on the other side of that, overuse can lead to, you know, some things that aren't so good. So it's kind of a win-win of having that sustainability and also minimizing, you know, environmental risk too, right?
Yeah, we know there's a lot of benefits that nitrogen provides with, but ideally we want to hit that, you know, optimum rate where it's not applying any excess nitrogen that we don't really need for that crop, and that we don't apply any excess ones where it could pollute our waterways. And additionally, we just don't want to waste money on nitrogen that we're not going to use. So really, this program kind of aims at helping support farmers find what exactly their economical rate of nitrogen is.
And of course, started off bringing up that the deadline has been extended. How late has that deadline been extended? And you know, how can people get applied to that still?
Yeah, we opened it up for another month. So we have up until April 30th to make any applications. Or if you have any inquiries, you can sign up and we can call you and chat more about the program. But the best way to apply is to go to our website, and under our cost share pages, there'll be the in-rate program listed there. You can apply online.
All right, Chelsea. And are there any other specifics of the in-rate program that our listeners should be aware of today?
I just, you know, probably want to mention again that it's a program set up a little bit differently. It's not a cost share, so it's not a payment for reducing nitrogen. Farmers only will get the payment if they have that yield reduction, which is 95% of what your 10-year average is. That's when PFI will pay out the $35 an acre.
All right, Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Thank you.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Yeah, that deadline's been extended, by the way, to April 30th. So if you haven't gotten a chance to get signed up, get in touch with our friends at Practical Farmers of Iowa. Coming up, we take a look at the statewide elevator prices. Dustin Hoffman has the numbers for you next here on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture.
Well, it's time to run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Tuesday, April the 9th. I'm Dustin Huffman. We're not really seeing a whole lot of change here in the numbers today. Let's take a look at where they're sitting. Starting at ADM Burlington, they're a nickel under on corn today. They're at $4.29. Soybeans 13 cents under. They're at $11.64. At Cargill and Eddyville, they're a nickel over on corn today. Cash bid $4.39. New Co-op Algona, a penny under on corn, $4.33. Soybeans 55 cents under at $11.22. Ag State Sheldon, they are 15 cents under on corn today at $4.49. Soybeans 65 cents under at $11.12. Ag State Elta, 12 cents under on corn today. Cash bid $4.22. Soybeans 55 cents under at $11.22. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 15 cents over on corn today. They're at $4.49. Soybeans a nickel under. Cash bid is at $11.72. At Nexus Co-op in Marble Rock, they're 15 cents under on corn, $4.49. Soybeans 45 cents under at $11.32. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, a dime over on corn today, cash bid $4.44. At ADM in Des Moines, they are 15 cents under on soybeans, cash bid $11.62. New Co-op Red Oak, a nickel under on corn $4.29, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.27. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 16 cents under on corn, cash bid $4.18, soybeans 50 cents under at $11.27. New Co-op Sheraton, 22 cents under on corn today, they're at $4.12, soybeans 55 cents under at $11.22 for the cash bid. Walk-On Feed Ranch, they're 8 cents under on corn today, $4.26, soybeans 35 cents under, $11.42. New Co-op Glidden, a penny under on corn, cash bid 4.33, soybeans 50 cents under at 11.27. Innovative Ag Services Farley, a penny over on corn, 4.35, soybeans 40 cents under, cash bid 11.37. Cargill Muscatine, a dime under on corn, 4.24, soybeans 11 cents under at 11.66. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've still got more market information to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday markets. Andy and Mark will have that for you. Don't forget about the free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. You can find them on Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come. Stay with us.
Well, last year, obviously, in the drought year, very difficult from a weed control perspective. So let's manage it in 2024, shall we? Andy, Dustin, Riley putting it all together here. Mark having a conversation for us coming up as well with Grant Kimberly on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, Iowa Ag Matters daily program. You can find all of our content at iowaagnet.com. Herbicide degradation and, of course, the long-term residual to try and prevent water hemp and other Maristail, other resistant weeds is always a challenge. And one of the best in the business is Ron Geis with Corteva. Visiting now a special correspondent, Russ Parker.
Let's talk a little bit about corn. The point we wanted to make on your corn, on corn weed control, we're in a drought, Russ. I mean, that's obvious, right? The problem you have in a drought is chemicals don't want to work as well. So a program approach is the best approach to weed control. When we talk program, we want to start clean, whether that's tillage or burn down, and put a good residual herbicide out. And we offer several, the Resicors, the Keystones, and things like that. But then come up post-emerge. And the thing to keep in mind as a farmer is let's get that post-emerge herbicide put on before the first herbicide has completely run out of gas. Russ, and why that's important is we, in the weather conditions we're facing, we don't know for sure if we're going to get that timely rain to activate that post-emerge residual. So let's get it out there earlier than later. I like to spray when my corn's just a good where you can row it, you know, and maybe even no bigger really than a pop can. Get out there early so those residuals overlap. We are excited of a new corn herbicide that we're bringing into the market. It's called Kyro, K-Y-R-O, it's four simple letters. It's a unique post-emerge offering with unmatched versatility and a very wide weed control offering. We're able to spray corn post-emerge from spike up to 24 inches tall. And it contains residuals, and it contains the ability to kill weeds that are up. So very good utility that way.
You know, one of the really cool things about Corteva as a company is that you're combining crop protection and agronomy. And part of that is also the plant health component of that. Let's talk about that a little bit in terms of some things that you're bringing to the market.
Yeah, Russ, let's rewind the clock maybe 15 years ago. A plant health component was just sort of a concept or a notion. We didn't use foliar fungicides other than on very rare occasions. And now that's a part of most every farmer's annual plan. So, you know, look at the evolution in just this relatively short amount of time. Healthier plants, just like healthier humans, are able to withstand problems when they come up. The plant health products also are fungicide products. So you kind of get a double duty out of that. So let's look across Iowa. All right, we think of diseases across Iowa as a whole. Tar spot has kind of swept the state. It hit the Mississippi River, and then 2 years later, it hit the Missouri River. Well, look at that fast spread across the state, which means it's probably got inoculum in every field. So a foliar fungicide, and the one we would recommend is Approach Prima, applied near tassel time or in the early reproductive phases, sets that plant up for a healthier grain fill period, and then also has the benefit of helping to protect against a disease like tar spot.
Well, Russ, thanks so much for the information there. Andy Peterson, he is ready to go. He's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Number three.
Another strong month for U.S. beef and pork exports. According to USDA data compiled by our friends at the U.S. Meat Export Federation, pork exports increased 14% from a year ago by volume, while value jumped 15% as far as the beef side of the equation go. Export value climbed by 10% to $830 million, volume just a little bit lower.
Number two.
Becoming more efficient and reducing nitrogen could pose a potential financial risk, according to our friends at Practical Farmers of Iowa, which is why they're offering their N-Rate Risk Protection Program to help encourage you to take the chance to be more sustainable, improve your ROI. Chelsea Ferry, PFI's Crop Fields Viability Coordinator, says enrolled farmers who experience a yield loss after reducing their nitrogen rate will receive a per-acre payment from PFI to help offset the loss.
The program aimed at reducing farmers' risk when it comes to cutting nitrogen. So this program kind of works. Participants usually reduce their nitrogen application by around 20 pounds of nitrogen. If you're already at a low rate of nitrogen application, we could probably make a smaller cut here. With that nitrogen cut, if you have a yield reduction due to that lower nitrogen rate, PFI will then pay out $35 acre to help kind of cover that loss of revenue with that lower nitrogen rate.
She says the deadline to apply was recently extended to April 30th.
Number one.
Well, getting going in preparation at least for hashtag Plant24, and yet maybe some time for some last-minute upgrades. That's what our friends at Meristem are hoping. Some enhancements to Iowa corn yields, according to Michael Hoxmeyer, who says they're seeing a big uptick in optimizing planter performance from the beginning of the growing process.
So one product we're pretty proud of here at Meristem is what we call our Hopper Throttle franchise. We are finding out that there is a lot we can do inside of the planter box. And we're really trying to capitalize on that space and putting stuff around that seed and on that seed to help influence that yield later on.
Getting off to a fast start to help build that yield factory, he says, is always important. Now, he says their website's a great resource for growers to see technical and data information behind their products when perhaps one's sitting in a sprayer tender or waiting on the tender in the sprayer to learn more. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we're getting rolling here again on this Tuesday, and the midday markets are coming up next. Andy and Mark will have a complete rundown of what those grain and livestock numbers are looking like here for you on Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network's Iowa Ag Matters. Thanks for joining us. You can always find replays at iowaagnet.com.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Justin McKinney of Comstock. Justin, what are we seeing taking place in the grains today?
We got corn up about 2 cents right now, beans down about a penny, following the export inspections this morning. Corn exports were very good. They topped the expectations. Soybean exports, about as expected.
So for the corn exports, are we talking just Mexico? Are there other countries that are also making purchases that we need to know about?
For the big part, Mexico has been the saving grace all year on that. Looking forward, we're going to need to see some other buyers step up and move into the market. I wonder how much grain Mexico has left to fill in. So hopefully, as we round into the summer here, we see some more countries step up and buy more bushels.
And something we haven't been talking a lot about recently, because we've been so focused on the livestock with all of the news regarding avian influenza, but right now, where is South America in terms of its timeline and what they're looking at for, I guess, the immediate future here with the grains?
Well, Argentina just getting underway on the harvest. I believe they're only about 2-3% harvested. So moving into that, we're going to see what their crop is. They have had some recently coming to light, some news about some blights.
That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Let's start livestock-wise on the beef side of the equation, Mark, where we see daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in to start a brand new week here at 115,000 head. That is about 16,000 more than a week ago and 14,000 more than a year ago. Boxes are mixed at midday. There were 91 loads of choice cut selling so far, 297.17 up 2 cents. Select down $1.35, 294.70 on just 17 loads of movement, so the spread narrows to $2.47. As far as pork goes, daily estimated slaughter totals, we see the numbers coming in at 485,000 head. That's a lot, like 42,000 more than a week ago and a year ago, so not much of a valued comparison there. As far as the cash markets go, let's wrap up Friday's trade. And remember where things begin from today. We finished barrels and gelts producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases over 4,200 head. The weighted average price coming in at 86.70. So that market was down 53 cents. Formula purchases 150,000 head of sales. So an average run there. Weighted average price 86.40. The market $1.20 stronger. As far as how we're starting off the brand new week here, over 1,900 head of negotiated purchases, so a fairly light offering. Sharply lower on the market, down $4.09, 83.03. Formula purchases, a big number, 150,000 head here at midday. Weighted average price, 86.97, so that market about 40 cents stronger.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
May corn up 2 even at 436 and a quarter. May soybeans unchanged at 1185 even. On the Merck, April live cattle up 85 cents at 179.10. April feeder cattle up $1.17 at $238.87. May lean hogs down 5 cents at $97.50. May pork cutout up $2.35 at $104.10. And Class 3 milk up 8 cents at $15.65. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Let's continue the market conversation focusing on the livestock trade, shall we? Joe Camp with Comstock now resuming the conversation with Mark Magnuson.
Let's go over to the other side of the ag marketplace and the livestock complex. What are we seeing happening with the protein sector?
We'd call it some relative stability here for cattle after a really hard down week last week. It was still lower to start here for most of the feeder cattle contracts, but a bit of a rebound for live cattle last week. The nearby April live cattle contract dropped $6.75 for the week. We had May feeders off more than $10.50. And that's still a reflection of uncertainty and nervousness over the bird flu stories here. We had our sixth state, Ohio, with a case of bird flu detected in dairy cattle. Some more concern about transmission to humans or other animals. Some restrictions on movement in certain states, Tennessee, Nebraska, Hawaii. But overall, I think cooler heads prevailing, and we think that long term, we're not going to see a big disruption in these bullish fundamentals of tight cattle supply and really robust demand as we head into the new summer season here. And that just leaves us to see the board correct higher towards a stronger cash market, because if anything, the sell-off last week really left the board at a big break relative to where the cash was still.
So, Joe, with all of that reaction to the headlines in the cattle market over the last couple of weeks, we know that hogs have seen the price move to the upside. Now, the question for you, Joe, is that just a natural reaction because of those headlines for the most part, or was the hog market kind of looking for a little bit of a kickstart? It got that and then took off a little bit.
A bit of both, I would call it. You know, the downdraft for cattle and the expectation that consumers might be a bit worried about beef going forward helped out the pork price and that speculative bullishness on that end. But you also had an ongoing bit of strength for hogs just on their own accord. Lately, we've had stocks draw down by quite a bit. More than anticipated, the last cold storage report found pork inventories down 12% on a year ago, and they're starting off the summer at a relatively low level here. We know that strong domestic consumer demand is being complemented still by basically record strong pork export demand, and that fits too with, just generally speaking, the outlook for hog numbers to tighten into the second half of this year. And so it is a futures market and one that does reflect more bullish fundamentals going forward, which also coincides with speculative interest that has been continually built up here and now aligns with what looks to be a really pretty bullish chart for these hogs. So it's all going in one direction here in a bullish fashion for these hogs as of late.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, of course, we have the latest Between the Pods episode Mark Magnuson has with the Iowa Soybean Association. Getting a little taste of that coming up next. Grant Kimberly will be talking with Mark here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, the latest Between the Pods episode is available for you out on our website, iowaagnet.com. Let's talk about it a little bit more here on Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin Riley, and now Mark Magnuson visiting with our good friend Grant Kimberly, good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, great soybean advocate as well, and multi-generational farmer from Central Iowa and the Iowa Soybean Association, looking at developing emerging markets. Mark has more.
So, Grant, we know this following the industry closely, but for our viewers, our listeners that might not realize it, soy processing really ramping up in recent years. Could you kind of tell us where we're at on the timeline of trying to get that infrastructure all up to speed for what we need right now?
That's exactly right. We're seeing something we really haven't seen in 30 years, a massive increase in our soy processing capacity. Roughly 600 million bushels of additional soy processing capacity has been announced. Now, that may not all come to pass where we have all that be built out, but a good share of that is already been built here so far, and more will be built over the next couple of years. And that's something, you know, if you put it in perspective, Iowa grows about 600 million bushels. So we're talking about an expansion that could theoretically process the entire state's crop.
And so, Grant, are there facilities that have been built here in the state, specifically around the state recently? Where are we looking at as far as new facilities?
Yeah, the facilities are really all over the country, but primarily you're talking the Midwest. Within Iowa, we've seen a new facility just finished here the last couple of years called Shell Rock Soy Processing up in Shell Rock, Iowa. There's also another facility being built in Alta, Iowa, northwest Iowa, called Platinum Crush. And then the existing soy crush facilities in Iowa have also, some of them have gone through expansion projects as well. So that's part of it. But, you know, mostly you're talking about Midwest expansion.
So what does that mean for Iowa soybean farmers? Obviously, if a facility is close to them, that's going to be very good for the ease of getting those beans there and marketing those beans. But what does that mean for the farmer specifically?
Yeah, that's right. It just gives you more market opportunities as a farmer. And what that will do in that local area, maybe a 50-mile radius, is you're going to see improved basis. The cash price opportunities will improve at certain times of the year because of that demand. And so, you know, having more markets like that, more demand, that's helpful. It also is going to help diversify our market portfolio overseas, because now we're going to be having to become a larger exporter of soybean meal rather than just being exporting whole beans.
So Grant, let's talk about biofuels then, and leading into that demand growing for biofuels, and then specifically biodiesel. We know that biodiesel sometimes gets, I think, lost a little bit in the shuffle, but certainly a lot of things happening with it as we continue to have new technology all the time developing. So where are we at right now?
You know, when you're talking about the biofuel market from our perspective, you're really talking about three main markets. The biodiesel market, which historically has been what's built this industry, and it still is growing and has opportunities. There's a lot of exciting new markets there. You're also talking about renewable diesel, which is a similar but yet different product, more like diesel fuel that's made. And a lot of times existing petroleum refineries will retrofit and make this product around the coastal areas, wherever there's a low carbon incentive. And then sustainable aviation fuel, aviation fuel made from biofuels. Those are the markets that we're talking about, and that's what's driving the soy crush expansion that we just talked about. But when you look at biodiesel, there's some exciting markets here that are still new and growing, and that's markets like the marine sector. You're talking about the railroad sector. Those markets we really haven't tapped into yet when it comes to biodiesel, and those are more so going to be biodiesel-focused markets. But in general, anywhere in the Midwest, there's still strong state incentives that play into it as well that help grow this biodiesel market.
He is Grant Kimberly with the Iowa Soybean Association. Grant, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate always when we get a chance to speak with you. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we survived the eclipse and got through that day and no real damage. And, of course, that means the sun's going to be out and not blocked by the moon, so we can continue to get drying conditions here. Not that that really did a whole lot, but you know how it is. We're going to hopefully see those planters rolling more in earnest here by the end of the week. Talking about temperatures that could be close to the 80s before all is said and done. You're going to have to wait and see how that pans out. And of course, thanks to everybody for making this another successful episode of Iowa Ag Matters. Of course, we thank Mark and Riley and Andy for being here. And of course, thanks to you for listening out there. We couldn't do it without you guys. We'll see you here tomorrow once again on Iowa Ag Matters from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. All replays of our content is online, iowaagnet.com. Have a good one.